break its neck with his arms. I know my great-grandfather used to catch grouse by hand. No rifle, no shotgun. He knows where they live and their habits, and he'd get over there and they fly, then he'd catch them before they get too far off the ground. That's a healthy human being. That's a strong human being. And I think of my nephew, he's Nuchanas. The people on the West Coast are hunting whales. I mean, huge creatures for food for the people. With a harpoon, not a gun, not a cannon. A man standing there with a harpoon. With these brothers paddling the canoe, chasing the whale. That's strong people. Because they ate good food, they nourished their soul, they had food for the soul. That's why we could do those things. I heard of the people up in the, what they call the plateau, which is Prince George area, and, you know, way up there, because there's the coast mountains where I'm from. Then you go to Kamloops, Prince George area, they call it the plateau, and then there's the Rocky Mountains. Elders telling me up in the plateau, the men would run moose down a certain time of the winter because the snow gets crusty. And they'd have a harder time to move. And he says, yeah, the hunters would run beside the moose with a flint knife and cut their tendons, and the moose would fall down and they'd slit their throat. That's a strong human being to do that. That's where we come from. And there's the reason they were that way. It's because of what they ate. I heard them talking about the hunters up in Carrier country. Those men would go out 20, 30 below, get a moose for the community. And they'd all go get it and bring it back. Then all come and carry it in. Then the woman cut it up and cook it. And they make sure they let the hunter know, we love you. We know what you had done. And they'd give him the favorite part. I'm pretty sure it is like that in all cultures. And we need to go home to that. You know, to have that love for food. To have that respect for food. You know, and it's, the reason I know we can do this, because that's the way it used to be. We can go back to that. You know, I've been so lucky, I've gone to so many conferences and workshops. And I went to one in Vancouver, and there were researchers, you know, medical people. And these ones were studying the bones of our people before contact with Europeans. And they were saying they couldn't find degenerative diseases in the First Nations people. It means no cancer, no heart disease, you know, no diabetes, anything that would degenerate the body. I remember sitting there and I was filled with pride because that's my people, healthy people, you know. And so it isn't, of course, until my nephew asked me to talk about nutrition that I think about that. It's because of nutrition. You know, the other parts like ceremonies, rituals are very important too. But I think the first step for our life is nutrition. Because the first thing the baby does when it's born is get nutrition from the mother. And the mother provides food for that baby. And I was taught this. My grandmother said the mother purifies all the food for the baby. So she'll take on, if there's poison in the food or something, she'll take it on in her body, and only good healthy milk goes to the baby. I say, whoa. She says sometimes you could tell when a mother's got pimples or something that her body's purifying the food for the baby. How my granny know this, I don't know, but I believe my granny, because I love my granny. And she was a midwife. Deliver. She says, I deliver hundreds of babies, son. I say, whoa. You know, and she loved food. Like I was telling you, she'd cry when I bring her a salmon. our liver from the deer, our heart, hindquarter. Oh, she'd be so happy. You know, so what I'm talking about in regards to nourishment proves to me that a lot of these sicknesses are preventable. That means we can stop it before it starts. And part of that is through our diet, what we eat and what we drink. So we must start to think of that. You know, like I say, in soul food, indigenous soul food is good food. It's food to keep our children strong, mind, body, and spirit. So our way of life was that we work together. I remember my late mother telling me, and she's a little girl, she's seen the whole community go up Mission Mountain. Lots of blueberries up on Mission Mountain. And she said they would lay out a big canvas in the center of the camp, and everybody would put their food on that canvas. Because they're going to have two cooks, two chefs. And all the children and women are going to be picking berries and are going to dry them for the winter. And the men would go off hunting deer and they'd dry the deer meat. So we're working together. And she says when they'd break camp, they'd make sure every household, depending on how many that are living there, would get enough for the winter. So that's working together. I know we still do, you know, I go to funeral feasts and people bringing food. It's so beautiful to see that we still carry on that tradition. You know, and someone passes in our community, next thing you know, you see a guy walking over there with a bag of potatoes. We still have our way of life and our genes and our, you know, it's in us yet. We just need to wake it up. First off, you know, look at ourselves. And ask ourselves, am I eating healthy food? Am I a good role model for our youngsters and what I eat and what I drink? I do my best to be a good role model. You know, because I know that some of my nephews and nieces and grandchildren may say, I want to be like Papa. Or I want to be like Uncle. You know, so the other part of our food gathering and hunting was they respected everything they took. And they would take only what they need because they knew if they took, kept taking, there would be none there next year. So they had laws to teach people to respect our food sources. You know, the berry fields, I remember we'd go to different places. My late uncle said, yeah, we'd go there and we'd pick berries and the men would hunt there. Next fall, we'd go over there. But after they finished picking berries and hunting in that one area, the men, after all, everybody leaves, there'd be certain men go there and do controlled burns. So there'd be more berries 2 years from now. And the deer like it because they can eat better there. And I remember hunting with my dad, and he'd say, we're going to go to that burn. And he'd point, and we'd go over there to hunt. And he says, yeah, they used to burn where they pick berries. And he says, we have lots of places to pick here. And I think that's part of the reason why we didn't have massive forest fires in those days. Controlled burns. You know, so our people had a relationship with the land because they knew what come out of Mother Earth kept them alive. So they knew gratitude, they knew to be grateful. Because there were times that because of something happening, they went hungry. But they'd always help each other. They'd make sure no one starved to death. They'd work hard together. And I think of that, I say, what a beautiful way of life. And we're going to go home to that. I know we're going to go home to that. And part of it's because we need to. You know, the generosity when we give. My late mother and father were traditional Stedtlium And they would push me to get food for the elders, you know, like from the lake. There'd be one niche. It's a winter fish that'd come up. You go get, you know, sacks of one niche and you bring it to every elder in this community. It's February and it's cold and there's ice by the lake. Oh, I don't want to, you know, in my mind. But I was raised to listen to my mom and dad and my granny. So I'd go down there and they'd give me the sacks and I'd fill them up with one niche. And that's when I got my medicine. I go to Keek's house. They called her Keek. Keek, and I'm knocking on the door. Oh, what do you want, son? Oh, no, I don't want anything, auntie. I got some one niche for you. And she laughs. And, oh, good, good, good. And I put it in her sink, and I go to all the elders. Oh, they're all happy. Somebody delivering food to the door. Skip the dishes. Traditional style, Sahilthit style. So I do that. Same with salmon. If I had more salmon than I need, I'd give it away. You know, and that smile and those tears those elders would give me and I give them the food is better than money, that feeling inside of me. And we all live by the law, you know, don't waste. Don't take more than you need and be generous. And give thanksgiving for what you get. I used to ceremony before I go salmon fishing, have sweat. One time one of my friends said, he started noticing that. He says, how come every time you go fishing you have a sweat lodge? And I said, I want to feel worthy when I kill those salmon. He said, you shouldn't say it that way. I said, well, I am killing them, but I'm purifying myself so when I do it, I'm respecting them. He says, oh, that sounds good, he says. Because that's what I wanted to do, respect them. Because I love salmon. I love the fish heads. I love the stuff around the gills and the tail, that dark stuff, you know. It's so good, so healthy, you know, and they say if we don't respect them, they might not come back. That's what we're taught as children. Better respect those salmon. My granny telling me, don't throw rocks because they just finished spawning in a river where I'm from, between two lakes. It's beautiful there. In the fall time, you can see salmon in there, sockeye salmon turning red and filled up with salmon, and they all come there to lay their eggs. We could hear them in the nighttime out in the lake. They're jumping, and boom, we could hear them hitting the lake with their belly. I'm saying, why are the salmon doing that? Oh, they're loosening the eggs up in the lining of their stomach. Oh, and we'd see them all in there. One fall we were there and they'd already spawned out and we went there to pick mushrooms with my granny, cottonwood mushrooms. So we filled up our containers and we're walking back and I started throwing rocks in the water. I'm a boy, you know. And my granny says, no, son, don't do that. How come, Mom? She says, there are salmon eggs in there. You'll kill this little salmon, the baby salmon. I listened to my granny, even though I don't believe her. But years later, when I was, I think it was 1980 or something like that, I was working at the tribal council, and we had a Salmon Enhancement Program, which means we want to bring the salmon back the way they used to be. So we clean the spawning channels, gather eggs and put them in these big crates and, you know, get them to hatch. Then we'd release them back into the water. But the fisheries biologist was there. And he was saying, you know, they're at eye stage now. There was stacks of trays of salmon eggs, water running through it. And he said to us, if you clap your hands right beside those crates, you go like that, because they're at eye stage, you can kill those eggs. And I thought about my granny immediately telling me not to throw rocks in the river. And I said to myself, how does my granny know that? But she knew. And there's proof right there. Even though I didn't believe my granny, I did later because this well-educated white man told me, you know, and my granny already knew, you know. So now it comes to what can we do? And that's the principal reason I'm doing this podcast, is to, you know, inspire and motivate people to think of what they're putting in their body. First thing to do is to put it in yourself, I'm going to learn how to love food. Guys, listening to this one healer, herbalist, and she was talking about food and how much she loves food. She says, I love food so much, I don't want to burn it, I don't want to undercook it, I want it to be delicious. And she said to the crowd, if you don't love food, for God's sake, don't cook. And she laughed too, you know. But that's the first step, is to love food, like my granny. Because it keeps us alive. And the good food will make us strong, physically, mentally, spiritually. You know, so love and appreciate the food. Second thing is, let's teach our children that we are what we eat. If you eat McDonald's, and, you know, all of that Wendy's stuff and stuff, if you eat that constantly, you know, you're going to start to look like a McDonald's burger. You know, it's not good for you. Let's teach them that, because children tend to believe you when you teach them as children. You know, because it comes their comfort food too. You know, like I say, and I wasn't in high school till I had my first fries and burger. You know, so I had an advantage there, I guess. But let's teach our children about the value of food and to love food. Then they'll take care of what they put in their body. Because it's important for them to know that we can get diabetes, we can get heart disease, our skin can be bad because of what we eat. You know, they do studies and they're saying that people drink pop every day, their teeth start to get brittle when they get older, and their teeth starts to fall apart. Let's teach them those things. And if they have too much salt food, it makes their blood like seawater. Because it's salt and it makes the blood heavy, and your heart's got to work hard to pump it through your system. And you start to get heart disease. Let's teach them those things so they'll say, I'm not going to do that. Don't use too much salt. Don't use too much sugar. And the other part about this is a solution. Let's all put it in our mind to help those in need. Let's bring traditional foods to the elders. Let's make them happy. Then we can feel happiness too. You know, and so if we all make a commitment, that's a promise to ourselves. To love every part of our body. When we make that commitment, I love you teeth, I love you eyes, I love you heart, pancreas, you know, all of our parts of our body, and we say that, then we'll be careful what we put in our body. If we really love our body. A dentist taught me that. He said he wouldn't work on my teeth unless I love my teeth. He said, I got to hear you say it. I love my teeth. So I said, I love my teeth, you know. That is quite a trick that dentist pulled on me, you know, but it was a good one. So the benefits of going back to soul food, indigenous soul foods, which is deer, moose, fish, mushrooms, wild potatoes, wild onions, you know, all of those foods, you know, so it'll extend our life. We can live longer and a happier life just by diet. Drinking more water, rather than sugary drinks. You know, be strong and sound physically. We can walk outside, we can do things, play sports and stuff, and enjoy ourselves. Because if our body's not strong, we tend to get tired easy and we miss out on enjoying the outdoors or a game or a trip. So the benefit is we'll be stronger physically. You know, and you can handle stress better too if you do a good diet. Because too much sugar makes you jittery, you know, you get hyper. I see kids have a pop and it's like they're bouncing off the walls. You know, or Jerry has too much coffee, sometimes he's blinking. So we all fall to that thought, just kids. Not just little people, I should say, not call them kids. So when we take care of what we put into our system, you know, because life is stressful today because of forest fires, floods, COVID, war, racism, all of those. We need to be strong to face it and to make a commitment to look after each other, our children and our elders, so we can keep moving. If we have a good diet, we can handle that stress better. I know that. I believe that. Then you can have a good relationship with your family and friends. You know, because if I'm angry all the time, I don't have a good relationship with my family and friends. Or if I'm depressed, same thing. Or if I'm afraid, you know, suffering what they call anxiety, it's the same. I won't have a good relationship with them. Some of them won't want to be with me if I'm angry all the time or if I'm depressed. You know, so this diet is very important. It's critical that you look at yourself and say, okay, what can I change? And do it bit by bit, you know. Don't, just because I'm saying I'm not doing this to guilt you out, I'm saying is to for you to think about it and start making that commitment. I'm going to change. I'm going to help the little ones. Those babies that were born last night, we're going to help them. I know that the food, you know, we talk about food sovereignty. You know, that we can't do what we used to. You know, but we can grow food. We do the next best thing. Because when you grow your own food, you know, there's no pesticides and all of that stuff they put on the food to get the perfect carrot and stuff. I grow a garden every spring and the carrots taste like carrots. And I buy it from the major stores. They're nice and orange and big. But they don't have the same taste as my scrawny little carrots from my garden, you know. So when I grow tomatoes and corn beans and squash, and even though I don't have that much land to plant a garden, I do my best. So if we all start doing that and raise your own chickens, I used to raise chickens and they're eating worms and bugs out in the yard, you know, and they taste good and we eat them. They're healthy chickens. So we can do that bit by bit. And if there's fish, go fishing. If there's deer, you can still hunt deer, go hunt deer. And if you can't because you're living in an urban center, maybe make an agreement with people in the interior that you're going to trade with them. Even if it's trading beating or whatever, you know, let's start to be bartering people again. Because we never used to have money we would trade. You know, and people have this, I go over there, hey, I'll trade you for that. Let's start to think of that and revive that. You know, barter camps where we come together. Because once we do all of this, we're going to feel successful again. And success is good medicine. Oh, I done that, we done that. It feels good. And when you feel good, stress leaves your body. When you feel joy and happiness, stress automatically leaves your body. So we need to have more success and more joy in our life. I've You know, because I've been on the healing road for quite a few years, when someone cooks for me, and I can see they love the food, and I eat it, I can feel it. It's like my heart feels warmer. I can feel that love. And I'm so appreciative of those people doing that for me, because they love the food. You know, it's a good feeling. And I enjoy life that way, to have a chef, a real chef, somebody that loves the food, you know. So we'll enjoy life and we'll get to healthy eating, healthy drinking. That's the way to go. That's I'm here today to tell you. Indigenous people had soul food, and that's the deer, the fish, the berries, the ulgan grease, all of those foods. That's our soul food. So let's all go back home, prepare a feast at every meal, even if it's just deer soup or dry fish soup, let's make it into a feast. You know, and think about the young ones, that we want them to have strength. We want them to have success in their life. So we're not going to slow them down by giving them junk food, you know. I know this is a big order because we're all addicted, you know. I've grown up with sugar and salt and white flour a good many years of my life, and I still like those foods. But I do my best to monitor what I put into my system now, you know, and I try to eat, not try, I eat healthy. And every once in a while, I'll go to the comfort food. You know, I'll have a hamburger or fish and chips. I love fish and chips, you know. And it, but I'll have it once or twice a year, you know, and I really enjoy it and I have it. Same with bacon, you know, I love bacon, but there's a lot of salt in there and other things, you know, so I'll have it again. Not once or twice, maybe a dozen times a year. <You know? laughs> I love bacon with pancakes and syrup. I don't know why, I just love it, you know, and it's... So I want to encourage you to think about this, to meditate on what we're putting in our bodies today and how can we change? How can we help each other? And I think the biggest suggestion I had today was that dry, if you're in a good area for deer meat, dry deer meat to trade with the people that smoke salmon. Let's start trading like they had the grease trail before. I know the town of Lullwood, where that's sitting now, that used to be the trading center for the Statlium. With an Alchapmuch and Shushwapmuch, they'd come and trade there in the past. Let's start doing things like that again. Maybe it's already happening. I don't know. I've been living in urban too long. You know, but I don't hear about it. So I know some people trade. Some families trade. But let's see if we can make it a movement. We're all trading for food and for beautiful beadwork and leather work and stuff for food and nourishment. Soul food. Just make it all soul food, indigenous soul food, healthy eating, healthy living. So that's my podcast called Soul Food. Thank you for listening. And you know, when you do the soul food consistently, you get inner peace. So Healthit has part of my inner peace comes from my diet and exercise, you know, and moving, keep moving. So thank you and tune in again for the next one, and I'm just so happy to talk to you.